This is the one I asked you to send me before today, so if you haven't sent it yet, you got 20 seconds.
Just send the script?
Yep. Okay, so this is basically the same as the one that was in the handouts. It's just we were changing and using different files. And so I wanted you to run through that. So I'm starting out and I've got a department file and I've got the inventory file. Okay, now thinking back to databases and tables, there's a one-to-many relationship going on there. Okay? One department can have many inventory items, but an inventory item only belongs to one department. So I've got a one-to-many relationship going on. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to get the inventory kind of by department. Okay, so I've got a series of departments and I'm going to get the output. Okay, and the things that I'm doing inside here are I am writing out the lines and I am creating a table and putting the information on the table. The table is called Heart Invent. Okay, so if I get out of here for a minute and I go back over here and run this, I can say @cursorinven and I run it. Okay? And so here are the DBMS lines. And the DBMS lines are basically accumulating totals. So 24 was the first record. The next record must have been 12 since I went up to 36. The next record must have been 5 since I went up to 41. So those were one department. Then the next department started at 24. And I can just kind of guess that by looking at the numbers and seeing that the number dropped down. So I was obviously not adding to it, so that must be a new number. Then if I want to see what I put on the table, I say select asterisk from Heart Inven, which was the name of the table. And I am getting these totals. So the 41 here was indeed a total for the book department. 36 was the total for the sports department. And 11 was our total for the toy department. Okay, so those are the outputs that I'm getting. So now if I go back and look at the program again, okay, I'm going to say edit cursor inven, and that brings up the code. So I started out and I've got my variables that I want to use, department and department name, and on hand. Okay, and again, I defined them by telling what table they were on and what field it was, so that I got the same type as the table and field. And then I've got on hand, which is the only thing I'm taking from the inventory, and what I want to get is a total on hand. So I set up the total on hand and made it the size that I have provided in part inventory. Because in that new table I created, I set up a field to hold the total for each department. Okay, so I said that is got to be that type. So in the department cursor, I wanted to put department and department name. Okay, so I said cursor, department cursor is select department, department name from department. And order by department. This is going to work if they're in the same order. Okay. Okay. And so I just ordered by department. And then I said, okay, cursor inventory, select on hand from inventory where the department matches the one that I have already got. Okay? I haven't gotten it yet. I'm just coming at the definition. It's not until I actually open and fetch that I actually get the data in. Open gets the data in, fetch moves it to the variables. So I've set up that when I open the inventory cursor, it is going to take the on-hand from the inventory with all of the departments that match the department I got from there. Now how I do it is I say open department cursor. So that brings all the data into that department cursor. So at that point I'm seeing department and department name from the department table. Then I drop down to a loop and I say, okay, now fetch the department cursor into B department name. So that means get the first record in the department cursor and move that information into the department in the department name. Okay, so the first record at this point. So that means that I now have something in B department, so when I open the second cursor, the inventory cursor, it will have something to match. Prior to that fetch, it wasn't going to have anything to match, okay, because there wasn't anything in B department. But as soon as I do that fetch, it has something to match it. Okay, then I said, exit when department cursor is not found. So if I am going through this as a loop and I try to fetch the next record and there isn't one, then I'm going to exit. Then, as I said, the next three lines are paranoia. Okay? If the inventory cursor is open, I'm going to close it. Well, if I coded it right, it's going to be closed. Okay? It's not going to be a problem. But if I want to safeguard myself, I can throw that in. And then I said, open inventory cursor. Okay? So as soon as I open inventory cursor, it goes and gets all the records that have a department that matches with the B department that I put up here. And I think the first one was books. So I had a BK up there, and so it is selecting all of the BK ones. Okay? So at that point, I have opened the inventory cursor, and it has got all of the on-hand in there. Okay? Then I set the total to zero because I want to have zero for each one. So I set the total to zero. And then I go to an inner loop. And in the inner loop, I say fetch the inventory cursor into B on hand. Okay, so I'm reading the first record in there and putting it in B on hand. So I've now got something in all those variables. Total, I have a zero, but I've got something in all those variables. And again, I'm saying exit when the inventory cursor is not found. Okay? Then I take the V on hand for whatever record I'm processing, add it to the total, and assign it back to the total, and I write out the line that contains the total. And so those are the lines that you saw come out that contains the total. So the first record is just going to have the data from the first record. Okay. So then I hit an end loop, and I go back and I just keep looping through that, fetching and exiting when it's not found, and I go through until I've processed all the BK records, all the records for that department. So at that point, I've processed all the records of the department, I end the loop. And then I insert that into, or write it, on part inventory. So part inventory now gets the record that has BK and the name of it, book, and the total, which was 21, I think I remember. And so it has the total. Then I close the inventory cursor, because I'm done with it, and I end the loop. I hit the end loop. No, I don't end loop. I hit the end loop, and it loops back up. And so I say, fetch the next department. So I get the SP. I found it. I don't worry about that. I open, and I now, when I open, I'm getting all the ones that match with SP. I go through the, I set the total to zero so that I'm setting a new total for a new department. Loop through and process all the records, adding it to and writing out as I go. When I've processed all the SP records, I drop down and insert that into the file and close the inventory cursor. Loop back to the next one, which is toy. Go through the same process for that. Look back, and when I go to open another department, there isn't any other department. So I exit when the cursor's gone down, which means I exit this outer loop, and I drop down and close the department cursor and end.
Okay. So that's the processing that I went through. Questions? Yeah.
A little lost there at the end about the part given file. Where did that one get made?
It's a brand new file.
Okay.
I'm creating, and I created it outside. So I have to create outside that I created the file.
Okay.
And I put no data in it when I created it.
Okay.
And so now I'm adding data to it.
Okay.
So if I run this program again without clearing out part in bin, I'm going to get all the set put in there if I don't do a delete and get rid of them. Okay? Questions? Okay, what I want you to do now is to take 5 minutes or whatever and turn this into two while loops. Okay? If you haven't done it, then do it. If you've done it, you won't get done, but at least you can play around with it. If you have done it, I want you to take it and just turn it into a while loops so that you don't have the loop and the exit. You'll have a while loop. And then we'll look at that. But just go in and try playing with that for a minute and turn it into that. Printing this out so that if you don't have it, you can take it and work on making the change on this.
basically go in and make this into a, you know, if you're doing it on, if you haven't got it done, do it on paper. You know, make the changes on the paper. If you've got a copy of this, then go ahead and make the copy.
So, we already did this.
You can use your copy if you've done it. And what I want you to do is change that kind of a loop to a while loop. Okay, so I want you to make this have while loops now. But I don't remember what in particular it doesn't work about. There it is.
This is the solution. So it's outside bound. All the set sides are right, it's not outside.
Thank you. So there, for the not found, you can also you read a found. Okay, because in the loop one, you're exiting when it's not found. In the while, you want to keep doing it while it is found. So you're going to be looking at a percent found as opposed to a percent not found. Now, the way I did this, just comment on it and then you can continue, is I have a fetch outside the while because I have an initializing read, because with the while, I think that's the kind of style that I like. So I've got a fetch outside, and then I've got a fetch right at the bottom, too. Okay? Right at the bottom. So I've got the fetch, and I do the loop, and I've got another fetch. And the while is probably clearer. I fetch the inventory cursor, and at the bottom of that loop, I do another fetch. So try doing it on your own, but if you want to cheat, there is the answer.
Cheating.
There's more than one person that's doing that. So don't feel alone.
Okay, I'll give you about another minute, and then I'm going to go over it. But if you had it and you added the stuff, have you gotten it running? Okay, so what this one is all the setup is the same. The only thing I'm changing is the loop. When I use the while loop, I like the philosophy or the style of doing an initializing read. And again, initializing read. In this case, it's a fetch, but a read, a fetch looks like a read. So I have an initializing read, and I have that on both of them. I have the initializing read down here, and I have it there. So then when I have an initializing read, what I do is all others are going to be read inside the loop. Okay, so all others are being read inside the loop. And those are the fetches that I'm doing for that. So department is being controlled in the outer loop. So here is the while, there's the end loop. I'm doing another fetch of department just before I end the loop. The inner loop is about the inventory, so I'm doing the initializing one right before the while, and the fetch again, right before the end loop. So what that does for me is it gives me something to process the first time I hit the loop. And then I read at the bottom so that when I go back, I make the determination whether to go into the loop or not. But I have, and this one is the easier one to look at, I have a record or I've discovered there's no record before I go back and do the while. Check. Okay? So if I was unsuccessful in the fetch at the bottom of the loop, then when I go back, it's not going to be found. So it's going to exit the loop because it's going to exit if it's not found. Because I'm saying while it's found. Okay? So I've got a while that takes in and does, starts out with the first department. So I've got the fetch, then the first department is there, it opens the inventory cursor, sets it to zero, and processes all the things that match. Okay. Drops out, writes the line, closes the inventory cursor, and then fetches the next department. So that when it loops back to the files, it's got the second department there. And eventually, when that one doesn't fetch anything, then it drops out of the loop. Okay. So I'm using the at the percent sign found as opposed to the not found. Because basically the while is do this while this is true. So it's while it's still records. Whereas the loop is when to get out. The while is about staying in and the loop is about when to get out. So does that make sense?
And hopefully it captures. So if I now go back and I run that one, okay, it gives me exactly the same output. And if I then say select asterisks from part inven, actually I want to take a picture of this first. Okay, I now have two rounds of each in the thing because I didn't clear it out. Left it, well, we'll stay up from the first round. So these are the ones from the second round. Okay. So that worked as well as the other one worked. I like whiles better, but you can decide which you like. Okay. I don't think I want this for anything more, but that's all right. We'll find out. So that was, I think, example one using curses, or no, yes, okay. So this is an explanation of the original one, and then I asked you to go on. Okay, the second one here is actually about passing data, and I'm going to skip that for a minute. Are for, in fact, actually probably till Thursday, and go on. And this is the regular while loops. And we'll look at the passing one later. So this is the while loop for the donor and the donation, or the drive and the donation. So that's the one that we were working on. And that was the original. So this is the one that uses the while loop for that. Okay, so we just went through this. This is the same thing. The only difference is that instead of using drive and donation, I use department and invent. And drive and donation is the same relationship of a one to many. One drive gets many donations, but a donation only goes to one drive. So it's the same one to many relationship. And the structure here is exactly the same as the one we just looked at. All right, this is a different program, a set of them. There's four that kind of go into how to do this. Okay, the first thing is this is the data that I'm using. And I think I actually want to remember that data, so I'm going to go and put it into a notepad. So that I don't have to keep scrolling around for it. Okay, so that's the data. Now what I want to do is I want to get unique manager IDs. Lots of people have manager IDs. They all have manager IDs. I want to know a list of manager IDs without duplicates. Okay, I want to know just a list of the manager IDs. So I'm starting out doing that. So the first thing, and we will go back and look at this type thing when we go back and kind of fill in the blanks, but I can explain it to you now. This is a manager table, and I'm setting it up. And I'm setting it up so that it will have the manager ID in it, and it will have an index in it to keep track of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, basically. So it is setting up a table. It's kind of like an array. Okay, so it's setting up a table where I'm going to put the manager IDs. Okay? So I define it as team manager table is a table of employee manager ID. So that's what I want to keep in there, is the employee manager IDs. The manager ID, which is on the employee's table. So that's what I'm keeping in there. And I'm going to have an index that's going to, they're going to keep track of things with the binary computer. Which is just the recommended way that they suggest putting in an index. Okay, then I come down and say V manager ID table is the name that I'm going to use for this table. So I'm giving this table a name that is going to refer to individual records. Okay, so I'm going to refer to the individual record. In this case, if you look down here, if I say V manager ID table and I have a counter, and whatever that counter is, that's the record that I'm going to look at. So if this is the one, I'm looking at the first thing in the table. If this is the two, I'm looking at the second thing in the table. Okay. So I've got a table, and the whole table is called key manager table. But the individual elements in the table are called V manager ID table. And I have to know which one it is. Again, think array. In an array, you have all of the same name, and then you use the number to tell which one you want to get. Okay, so kind of think of it as an array. So V manager ID table is what I'm going to use. And the whole table is T manager table. Then I said, okay, I'm going to set up a cursor. And I called it employee one and select manager ID for employees. So I've got a cursor of all of the manager IDs. Okay. Then I've got other things that I'm going to use. I have got a found flag that is going to be a yes or a no, I find it. And I've got a loop count that is going to be the thing that lets me tell which one I want to get. Okay? It's going to keep track of it. Okay, so I'm coming down and I'm saying open C employee one. So that is getting all of the manager IDs. Okay, so when I open this, I'm getting all of the manager IDs from the employees table is going into that cursor. Then I have a loop, and I said fetch C employee one into V manager ID. Okay, so V manager ID I defined up there as a variable. All of the manager ID type. So it's of that type. And I am saying fetch the first one to the manager ID. Except when I'm done. Not found, except when I'm done. Okay. So now I'm saying set the V found flag to false. Okay, because it's a Boolean true false type flag. Okay, so I'm setting it to false. And I'm setting V loop count to 1. And they're storing it as a binary integer, but I'm just telling them it's 1. Okay, then I come down here. And I say, okay, V loop count is a 1. And 1, I'm going to check while in loop count is less than or equal to the manager ID table count. Now I'm putting things into the manager ID table, but to start out with, it's empty. I just created it as an empty. So the first time that I hit that station, loop count is a 1, manager ID count, and notice they have a dot count that I've So manager ID table counts how many things are in that table. Okay. And there are 0 right now. So therefore, what do I do?
1, is 1 less than or equal to 0? That's a simple question, folks. Is 1 less than or equal to 0?
No.
No. Okay. We're not getting too complex. My 8-year-old grandson could answer that question. That 1 is not less than or equal to 0. Okay, so here we go. So if 1 is not less than or equal to 0, I'm dropping out of the loop.
And I come down there and say, is the found flag false? And yes, the found flag is false because that's what I set it as. So now I am putting the first manager ID into the table. So I'm saying, go to the manager, B manager ID table. There it is. Use as a index the count plus 1. Count is 0, plus 1 is 1. So put the manager ID into slot 1 in the table. Yes, no, maybe? Then I am the loop. And I loop back. And I fetch the next manager ID. Okay, and put it into... Fetch the employee one into V manager ID. So I put it into the hold area. Then I come down and I set the found flag at false. And I say the loop count is 1. And now it says, is the loop count less than or equal to the manager ID? What is it now? Manager ID table dot count. What's manager ID table dot count? I have put 1 bracket in, right?
Yeah.
So what is it? It's a 1. Okay? So that means I'm going to go into the loop. Okay. Let's take a look at the manager IDs and let's try running through this because I'm getting a lot of looks that indicate that I'm talking Greek or whatever. Okay, so let me try to get the manager's IDs. These are the manager IDs. The challenging part of life. There are my manager IDs. Okay, so the first time through, let's set this up. And I've got my table. Okay, so I've got my table over here. So I am starting out, and when I do my first fetch, this is what I'm getting, the 7902, right? So I do my first fetch, and I'm getting that 7902. Okay, so... It is now B manager ID. And it now has the 7902. That's what I read. I said fetch the C employee. And so the 7902 has gone in there. Okay. There is nothing in the paper. So I exit when I wasn't able to get something I was. The found flag is being set to false. Okay, so I've got a B found flag that is set to false. And I have a B loop count, which I'm setting to 1. Okay, so that's where I'm standing right now. But I went down here and had that trick question about whether 0 was on 1 was less than or equal to 0, okay? So I went down and asked, is 1 less than or equal to 0? And I got a no. So I dropped out
of the loop. And for a while, loop, I dropped out of the loop. And I said, if found flag is equal to false, it is, then take the count, which at this point is zero, add one to it, return one, and put the 7902 in this table. Okay, so I now got the 7902 into the table. And the count of this table has now gone up to one, because I've got one thing in the table, so the count has gone up to one. Okay? So I put it in the table, this ends the loop, and so I loop back up, and I say fetch the C employee one to manager ID. So I've now got 7698. Okay, so I'm reading the next thing in the cursor. Okay, this is my cursor, basically. Oh, good. That'll teach me to write on something like that. Okay, where? Does anybody have any idea what I just did? Okay, this is Notepad. Is Notepad? I apparently erased it from Notepad. Wasn't that clever?
I think there's an undo idea.
Thank you. You're right. Aren't you clever? Thank you.
As long as I ask you difficult questions, like one is greater or less.
Okay. So I've now got, and I'm not touching that again. Okay. So where was I? I just read the 7698, right? So now my manager ID is the 7698. Right, because I am taking and saying fetch C employee one, which is the cursor, and I am putting the 7698 there.
I'm confused on a false and true. What is the default thing going?
Okay, it's setting defaults, meaning I have not found a match. And if I find a match, I'm going to set it to true.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it's get Android ID, that's where it's a change.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So I come down and sit with not found. If found flag is false, I'm leaving found flag is false, and I'll leave it resetting load count to one. And then I come in here and I say, well, one is less than or equal to one, because the count is one, right?
Yes.
So that means that I'm going to go into the loop. So then I'm saying, if the manager ID, which is 7698, is equal to the B manager table with B loop count, then the found flag equals true. So if I find a match, the found flag will equal true. Okay, so loop count is one. So I am now looking at this, the first thing in the table. Okay, is 7698 equal to 7902? It's not. Okay, and so then I go back out, I add one to loop count. Okay, and I come back up. Is loop count less than or equal to? No, it's not. Okay, because the count in the table is still one. Count is 2, 2 is not less than or equal to 1. Okay? So, that means that I don't go into the loop. I come down here and I say, is found flag false? Yes, it is. So that means I go ahead and I put this into the table. Okay? Because it's unique.
Yeah, now I
do. Okay. So now it's unique, so I put it into the table, I end the loop, and yes, I end the loop, I come back. So I fetch the next one, which is 7839. Okay, so now manager ID is 7839.
Okay, and I should have noted this count will now be a 2. Okay, so I've just read the 7839. I come down, I set found flag to false, and I reset loop count to 1. Because now I am testing the next one. And so now I say, while the loop count, which is 1, is less than or equal to the count in the manager table, which is now 2. Okay, so that means I go in. So the first thing I do is I compare 7839 to the first thing in the table. Okay, so I'm saying if the manager ID equals the manager count modified by loop count, and loop count is 1, so it checks to see if it's equal to 7902. It's not, okay, they're not equal, so I add 1 to loop count. So loop count is now up to a 2. Okay. And I loop back. It's 2 less than or equal to the count in the table. Okay, it's is because it's equal to. So I check, and now I'm looking to see if 7839 is looking to the second one in the table. Okay, so I'm checking each one that's in the table. So the first time I'm looking at 1, then I'm looking at the second one. Okay, and I don't find a match, so I add 1 to loop count. Okay, and when I go back, loop count is no longer less than or equal to the count of the table because it's up to 3. So I drop out. If found flag is equal to false, and so it is, so I put the 7839 in here. And if and loop, I loop back and I'm going to change colors so that, because now we're going to actually find something else. So I fetch the 1 and this time I'm fetching 7839. Now that's the same, so I'm not going to want that to go into the table because I've already got something in the table. So I'm saying set the found flag to false, set loop count to 1. And now I go in, and I'm saying, while loop count, which is 1, is less than or equal to the count in the table, the count in the table is now up to 3. Okay, because when it counts what's in the table, it's up to 3. So it is less than or equal to, so I go back in, and I'm starting loop count out of 1. And so it compares the 7839 7902. It's not equal. Okay? So I drop out and I add 1 to loop count, and then I check and see if it's equal to the second one in the table. It's not. So I add 1 to loop count, and it checks to see if it's equal to the third one. Okay? So I'm going in there. Loop count is 3. Manager count is 3. Is the manager ID equal to the manager ID I'm looking at now, which is the third one? And it is. So I set the found flag to true, and I exit. Okay? So now I get out, and I say, okay, if the found flag false, it isn't. So therefore, I don't write anything. I just end the loop and go back and read the next one. And the next one is going to go through the same thing. It's going to find a match. I'll read the next one. That one's going to find a match. So it's not going to be until I get down to 7505 that I find one that's equal. Not equal. Does that make sense? Okay, I saw 2 nods over there. I'm not seeing nods elsewhere. Let me take a picture, and then I will answer your question, because I don't want to lose that. Yeah? Pardon me? It's not doing anything. It's not putting them in the table. Because I want the table to have a unique list of my managers, so that if I go back and use that table, I will be able to go in and put on everybody that's a manager. And there's no sense in having the name, the thing in there twice. Now, are the easier ways of doing this? Absolutely. And we'll actually talk about that at the end. But they wouldn't be as neat as this, where I have if statements and loops and counts and all the rest of it. So the easier way of doing it isn't anywhere near as complex, so it's not anywhere near as much fun, or not anywhere near as interesting. Huh? It depends. Well, I definitely wouldn't code this if I was coding for real, but it gives you a good idea of seeing how a flag works, or how the count works, how the comparison works. It just, you know, it shows a lot of things that are worth understanding. So...
Are there arrays in DLSQL?
Yeah, but that kind of table is sort of, and the array is sort of. They're not as nice and clean as they are most places. Okay. So, questions. Then what does the last thing do? What, there's a for loop at the bottom. What is that going to do? Okay, so Bray Soul, tell me what the lift that loop does.
What does it do
that? That's just the structure of the way they do a source statement. This is for I, so I is the thing I'm going to call it. Going from 1 is the starting point, dot dot 2, and that's the ending point. So it's going from 1 to the count of the tables. Okay? It's going from 1 to the count in the tables. Now, one thing you have to know here, and that's why I started out by saying count plus 1. Most of the world starts counting with 0. This is starting counting with 1. Okay? And that's always something that if you're in a new language or doing something new, you should do something that lets you know whether count is starting at 0 or count is starting at 1. And, you know, if I change this and hit a count side, you'd see different results. Okay? So what I'm doing is saying I want to do a for loop that goes from 1 to the count in the manager table. Well, if I stop right now, the count in the manager table is 3. Okay? If I kept the program going, I'm going to add a bunch more to that, and maybe I'll have 10 or 12 or something like that. But I'm going to have all the people in the table. So I said for I, okay, and I, the for loop defines the variable, and for some reason the world uses I with for loops a lot. They kind of stood for index. Okay, so for I going from 1 to the count in the table, and then what does the next line say?
Write it out.
Write it out. Put out the DBMS line. Write it out. So I'm going to see all of the managers in the table. Okay? What do you need to have set on for the DBMS line to work?
Set server put on.
Yeah. I've got to have the set server open on and the set server open off. So if I want this to work, I've got to have those set on.
So on a DBMS, what is the actual output going to be? Is it going to be the manager number and then number 1 outside of it?
Look and see.
I think I've already taken the picture, but I'll take it one more time just to be secure.
Oh, just the manager.
Yeah. So now when I come down and do this, okay, there is the output that I got.
So 7902, 7698, 7839, we got through. We said the next one we were going to see was that 7505, and those are the rest of them. So those are the output that it generated.
Okay, so what I said was that that first one, if you actually look at the writing up above, that first one, the F4 program is a development sophistication. Actually, the last one is more of an easy way to do it. So I just went in and said, okay, manager ID, that's all this first program does is select the manager ID. Then I'm going to add stuff to it in the second program. But all the first program did was select the manager ID and then give me a list of it. Okay, so I'm getting all of the manager IDs, and I'm getting when I did the four down here, and I did that mainly to prove that I'd accomplished something. You'll see the list coming out. So that was just showing the list. Okay, so now I go into the next thing. And this is all very similar, except that I'm now going down and getting into some other things that I want to do with it. Okay. So the first part, the first part is basically the same. I've got the table, I've got the cursor, now I'm adding a second cursor, and I've got manager ID, which I had before, I'm adding employee ID, I'm adding salary, I'm using all of those, and I've got another index that I'm using, which is table index. So I set up all of those things.
Good question.
Yeah.
The binary type on the declaration. Why did we not just use?
We could have.
Okay.
If you read the literature, it basically says that it's a little more efficient if you use the binary.
Oh.
And so.
Number
right. And you know, when I took the courses, they told us that's what we should do, and we're getting into especially kind of using the table, which is kind of like an array, that it was a good way of a little more efficient. So, you know, for us, we're saving nothing. But if you have a million records,
you know, it may be saving something for you. You don't really have to declare length variable then,
right? No.
Okay, so now I come down in the beginning part up to the close is exactly what I did before, except that I didn't put the full digit to print everything out, because the full link was just there. Okay, so I could do something, so I could prove something. So then what I did here is I opened two cursors. I opened the employee cursor, which was select manager ID from employees, and I created a table of just unique manager IDs. Next, I'm going to open the employee cursor, which is going to take select employee ID and salary from employees. And I am going to update the salary. So I wrote for update of salary. Now, this for update of salary is kind of a neat thing to have. And what it does is it will lock out the one that you're currently using so that somebody else can't make a change at the same time. So the record that I'm currently using, which is a problem if you've got something out on the cloud or whatever, and somebody from San Francisco could be making a change to the same record that you're making a change to, and whoever is a nanosecond set behind is going to be the winner. So this locks something that is being processed so that you can't have that kind of problem. So the for update does that, and there's an explanation of it further down. So what I did here now is I said, okay, close, and now open the second cursor. Okay, so I'm opening the second cursor. So, what is that doing for me? Look at this code and tell me not the details, but what's happening. That's right, it's going to get all the employee IDs. And then what is its goal?
It's checking the manager table to see if the employee is in the manager table, right? That's what I'm doing in here, is I'm checking to see if the employee is in the manager table. Now what happens if it is?
The salary
increase. Right, yeah, right. So, as we all know, manager gets the higher salary increase and others get the lower salary increase.
So, I am checking the manager table, and if the manager is, if the person, if the employee is a manager, because their manager ID matches the employee ID, okay. If you look back here, okay, manager 7902 is actually person. I didn't put enough in there. Manager 7902 is person Ford, is Ford, because that's his ID.
So the manager ID for 7902 is Ford. Okay, so it's the employee ID and the manager ID.
What the manager ID contains is a better way of saying that. What the manager ID contains is an employee ID of the person that is the manager. Okay. So, I am coming in here and I am looking and saying, okay, fetch, I closed employee one, because that's its purpose was to create the table. Now I've got the table, so I'm opening employee two. And I'm saying, fetch the employee into the employee's ID and salary, exit when it's not found, setting the flag to false, setting the loop count to one. And while loop count is less than or equal to, and it's going to be because I finished the manager table and there's something like 10 or 12 in there, so it's going to be. So I'm going to drop down to the next one and say, okay, is the employee ID equal to the first one in the table? Because the loop count I set to 1. So I'm going to look at the first one in the table. And if it is equal, I'm setting it to true. Okay. Otherwise, I'm adding one to loop count and looping back. So I'm going to go through, and eventually, I will have looked at everything, or I will have found a match. Okay, so the first employee, I will look, and the first employee was what? The first employee was Smith 7369. And Smith doesn't appear to be a manager. Okay? So 7369 doesn't appear to be a manager with a quick look.
So eventually I will get to the point where loop count, I've checked everything in the table and they don't appear to have had a match. So loop count is no longer going to be less than or equal to the count of the table because I've checked everything. I'll go through that loop and check everything. And at some point, I will then get out of the loop. And so then I say, if the found flag is true, it's not. So I do the else, and I give them 1.02% raise, a 2% raise. Okay?
And then I do the update and I set salary to V salary
where it's the current. Now you had to say for update to be able to use the where current. So I'm saying change it for the current employee. Whatever record you're currently working with, change the salary for that employee. If I do find a match up here, then the found flag is set to true, and I exit. And when I drop out of the loop, I say the found flag is true, give them a 10% raise. And then I do the update and give them the 10% raise. Okay?
So basically, employees get the 2% raise, managers get the 10% raise, and I'm done. Yes, no, maybe? Do you understand the logic that we just went through? And if you don't, you got to ask me Thursday since we just ran out of time. But if anybody's got a quick question, I can handle that.
Okay, I will look this thing through. We're going to look at the other two in there on Thursday. But I would at least look through the ones we've looked through if you've got any qualms about how they work.